When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
Hey everyone, welcome back into the BT Powerhouse podcast. As always, my name is Thomas Bennett, and I'm the host of the podcast and manager of BT Powerhouse, which covers your Big Ten basketball needs here at SB Nation. And we're continuing on with our season preview series. Tonight, we're going to be touching on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And to help us break them down, we have a special guest here, Aaron from On the Banks. Aaron, how's it going?
Very good, Thomas. Thanks so much for having me back and looking forward to college hoops resuming once again.
Absolutely, yeah. After last season's abrupt end, it is very nice to be talking about real basketball and know that, you know, in all likelihood, we're just over a month away from tip-off. So exciting times for the Big Ten and for Rutgers. Just for people who don't recall, I believe you were on here last year for our season preview series, but for people who don't recall, if you can just let them know where they can check out your stuff and what you guys do over at On the Banks.
Sure. We're at onthebanks.com and, you know, we're covering Rutgers hoops throughout the season and in the off season. We're credentialed with the program. So we've had a couple interviews with Coach Pike over the last month or so. And, you know, obviously for all Rutgers sports as well. But you can find us on Twitter, OTB_SB Nation. We're on Facebook as well. We're very excited. You know, we've lived through some lean years the last three decades. So to say Rutgers basketball fans are excited about the season would be a massive understatement.
Sure, absolutely. And I kind of want to start there. You know, our last couple of years, I know you're joking about this before it started, but a lot of these previews have been a bit grim for Rutgers coming into the year, you know, not a lot of optimism. And I hate to start on a bad point, but I do want to start with last season. The team performed really well. I don't think there's any doubt going into the last week or two of the regular season, Rutgers was going to make the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, COVID hits. The season gets canceled. We never get to see what happens. First, your final thoughts just on last season and sort of where the program sits as we prepare to enter this year.
Well, I think, you know, in a rebuilding a program, especially one like Rutgers that has, you know, had a few glimpses of positive rebuilds in the past under former coaches, only to kind of fall apart by year four. It was a very encouraging sign to see them take another step forward. Basically, every year that Pike has been here, he has made them better. And, you know, it's been maybe taken longer than some people hope. But at the same time, those that have followed the program for a long time know the pitfalls and how so many times it's fallen apart before it ever really got anywhere. So seeing their progress last season, you know, there's having so many returning players back this year, the experience they got last year, I think, you know, although they really struggled on the road in Big Ten play, I think they actually played better than they got credit for. They had some really close losses against some ranked teams on the road in conference play. And I think that they've learned a lot. And having, you know, six of their top eight guys back from last year is a real confidence boost for them. And really, Geo Baker emerging as one of the premier late game closers in the country really gave them an edge that they've been looking for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I just want to echo, you know, a couple things here. You know, first off, this has been a long build. You know, this was not a 1 year rebuild, as you noted, with the prior head coaching staff for the Scarlet Knights with Eddie Jordan. They obviously reached really, really low points. His last year, they are 7-25 overall. But not only that, 279th on KenPom, which is almost like unheard of for a Power 5 team. So really just the bottom. But as you mentioned, since then, they jump up to 135th the next year, then 130th, than 78th. And last year they finished 28th in the shortened season. So it has been a steady climb, which has to be a lot of fun to watch as a Scarlet Knight fan. And, you know, I just want to note, I said this about Penn State. I feel the exact same about Rutgers. You know, the people obviously who have suffered the most during this pandemic are the people who've gotten sick, you know, lost family members, that kind of stuff. So there are real things going on beyond sports. But putting aside the real things and in the sports world, I don't know if anybody got screwed more than Rutgers last year. I mean, they finally get there. I believe they have the nation's longest, at least in the Power Five, I don't know if a streak is the right word, but longest run without an NCAA tournament appearance dating back to the 90s at this point. And finally we're in, and you just don't get the celebration. You know, obviously we don't know what would have happened, but I have to imagine Rutgers would have had a big selection show, you know, viewing party. All the fans could have come down. It would have been a real party for Scarlet Knight fans. So it's disappointing that didn't happen. But, you know, the program is in good shape right now. I don't think fans are going to have to wait very long for that celebration. You know, maybe they won't get to go in person this year with COVID out there. But I'm sure fans will be happy nonetheless if the team can get it done. So disappointing way last season kind of unfolded. And, you know, one thing I did want to touch on as well. Again, I mentioned this in the Penn State podcast, both kind of in similar veins where, you know, struggled for a while, but finally got in. How did you feel about the idea? There was a discussion from some of the head coaches, you know, some that maybe with a little self-interest, like Pat Chambers for Penn State, who wanted the NCAA to reveal the bracket, how they would have picked it, even though, you know, they wouldn't have obviously had the games, but just put out a list of the teams. How did you feel about that idea?
Well, first off, I'll say the term you were probably looking for that Rutgers fans use is drought. And it's been, we're now at 30 even years going into this season. You know, to be honest with you, I was kind of torn about it. I like the idea in theory, but at the same time, it almost would be a little bit of salt in the wound, I think. To be honest with you, I think a big part of this year's team's identity will be having an even larger chip on their shoulder for feeling like they have this unfinished business. And although they certainly have changed perception, I think that they haven't changed it as much as they had wanted to when not getting to the NCAA tournament, potentially, you know, winning a game or two while they were there. So I think for that instance, I'm happy about it, because I think not revealing the bracket and not giving that kind of satisfaction, even though it would be hollow, it has channeled and really driven this team to be even more motivated going into this season.
Interesting. Yeah, I think for my thought, I did not support it, and the main reason why I didn't is the season was not concluded. You know, the regular season was, but there was still a lot of conference tournaments that had not fully concluded, obviously including the Big Ten. You know, the Big Ten got a day accomplished Wednesday, but they still had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to play games. And while Rutgers, there really wasn't a debate. The only debate was, you know, what seed would they have been in the NCAA tournament? But for some of those teams, those conference tournaments actually make a big difference. They get some teams in, some teams get knocked out. So I thought you can't do it really unless you have the full picture. That was my thought. I thought you'd be shortchanging some teams. But with that, we should put last season to bed, though. Move into this year. Rutgers does enter the season with a pretty nice roster. Before we get into the team overall, however, what are the big departures that Rutgers fans should be aware of this year? And conversely, who are the newcomers that you're excited about?
Well, talking about losses, I mean, their major loss was Akwasi Yeboah, the grad transfer from Stony Brook, who was a huge addition last year, very solid performer on both ends of the floor. He kind of struggled down the stretch a little bit, but overall, I mean, he was certainly a valuable player for Rutgers. He certainly will be missed. He was more of an outside-in type 3-4 guy, but he could defend multiple positions, and he had a lot of experience and was a good leader. So certainly a big loss there. Their only other of their top nine players last season in terms of minutes and production was Shaq Carter, who was a somewhat useful front court player. Never really, you know, he was one of the top JUCO recruits 2 years out, you know, that Rutgers got. He never really fulfilled that type of kind of ranking. But he was a solid bench player and gave them some good minutes on both ends of the floor. Never did anything too you know, too great, but certainly a useful player. But other than that, everybody was scheduled to be back. The one blow they've had in the offseason is Caleb McConnell, rising junior, wing player that handled the ball quite a bit in the last couple of years. Really just an under-recruited three-star kid out of Ohio that's just a really tough player, great teammate, you know, had his moments last year. We had some big games. He did struggle as well down the stretch, and a big part of that, which has really come out, has been injuries, and he's actually decided to take a medical redshirt this season due to a back injury, which I think will be a real positive long-term just for his health, and obviously Rutgers still being able to have him another 2 years. So I think long-term it's a good move, but certainly hits their depth a little bit this year, but I don't think he was, you know, he's probably a guy that was the first off the bench, maybe second off the bench, could start when needed. You know, it's certainly a valuable player, but at the same time, overall, when you're talking about a team that's bringing six of their top nine guys back, plus adding the top 50 recruiting class to the top 50 recruit, it certainly puts them, I think, in a position of strength, especially going into a year where the offseason has been extremely disjointed and shortened. That, you know, it's a team that pretty much knows themselves going into this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm kind of on the same board. Rutgers doesn't lose much this offseason. Maybe it's shortened and sweet, but basically all your key guys are back. You know, Baker, you mentioned a few of the others that I think fans should be really excited about entering. Harper, obviously a bunch of exciting pieces. And I like this. I like the recruiting class coming in this year. I think it's a step up from what Pico has brought in the last couple of years, just in the depth, because I think there are two, three players that I could see contributing at a high level down the line. Obviously, Amori is going to be the top guy. As you mentioned, he's a top 50 prospect nationally, one of the top recruits Rutgers has landed in quite some time. I think I'm looking at the 247 page right now. I think they have him rated as the second highest commit ever in the history of 247 sports for Rutgers hoops. So obviously a pretty big commitment when you're talking about 20 years or so here for the Scarlet Knights. But I think this team is as deep and as talented as it's been in quite some time. And again, don't want to repeat myself, but I like the pieces. With that, though, you know, we've talked a little bit about last season, about who's coming in, who's coming out. Moving back to more of a team perspective here, what are the biggest things you're most optimistic about with regard to the Scarlet Knights this season? And conversely, what are you the most worried about with this team?
Well, it starts with defense. You know, they finished last year sixth in defensive efficiency in the country. But what I thought was actually more impressive was that they finished second in Big Ten play. You know, they had never finished better than ninth or tenth. They really took a leap defensively. I think they finished in the top four in every statistic, but one in Big Ten play. I think it was free throw rate. They finished 12th. Everything else was top four. And believe it or not, you know, Coach Peichel, when I talked to him last month, really believes they're going to be a better defensive team this year, which is pretty scary to think about. Wow. You know, Cliff Omoruyi. You know, he's a top 50 recruit. You know, offensively, it's going to take him a little bit, I think, to develop a game. But defensively, he is going to be an elite rim defender from day one, big time shot blocker and rebounder. And adding him to that defense is really going to just allow them to be even more dangerous. You know, Peichel feels that they're even more versatile, going to be able to give more, different looks and just be deeper on the defensive end. I think they'll press more. Another recruit that they got, Mawat Mag out of Prolific Prep, was the top prep school in the country last year. You know, he started for them. He had a hand injury late junior year that summer, so he was kind of under-recruited. I think he's going to end up being a huge sleeper. of a recruit that Pikiell found. I think he's going to contribute right away defensively, and I think in transition off of defensive stops, they're really going to be able to be an efficient team offensively off the break. So defense, I think, is certainly their strength, their identity. It has been since day one, since Pikiell's been there. And I think their ability to their defensive ability is going to keep them in every game that they play. Conversely, my biggest concern, I would go back to shooting, specifically free throw shooting. They were a terrible free throw shooting team last year. Pikiell talked about how much they've worked on that and joked, but it really is true. If they were just an average free throw shooting team, their offensive efficiency numbers would be, top 40 in the country, probably top half of the Big Ten. They're that bad from the free throw line. They shot about 64%. So, you're talking about four or five more makes a game. You're talking about an elite team. So with that defense. So I think free throw shooting, they did struggle at times from the three-point line, but they definitely were improved last year. And from two-point range, they were much more efficient. I think their ability, again, if their defense can be even better and they can force more turnovers and score more in transition, it's only going to help them offensively. Consistent shooters. The other thing I should note is that McConnell, who is redshirting, was their best free throw shooter. He averaged about 80%. So, again, their best free throw shooters out from a terrible free throw shooting team last year. Miles Johnson specifically, a very good double-double guy in the paint center. Shot 40% from the free throw line last year, and I think he had the second most attempts on the team. So Certainly an issue. If he could just improve closer to that 60% mark, they would be much improved in that area. But strength-wise, defense, concern, I would say shooting and specifically free throws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think from a strength perspective, you hit the nail on the head. It's defense, defense, defense. This team is gritty. They're going to be nasty to play. Most Big Ten teams, most teams in general, are not going to enjoy playing them because it's going to be gritty. It's going to be physical. And the other thing that I think Rutgers is really underrated in is rebounding. I think they're so consistent there, particularly offensively, at getting boards. And I know they're not they came in last year in terms of efficiency numbers, like 53rd. On defensive rebounding, like 68th, something like that. But it really feels like they're a lot better than that when you watch them play. And I don't know if it's because they get the rebounds in the big moments or what it is, but I really love the way they rebound, and they do it as a team. I mean, it's not just one guy pulling in every rebound. So I really, the defense, the idea that they're going to be better, I think, is crazy. I'm a little skeptical just because they were already so good that the defense is going to elevate, but I expect it to be really good again. I expect the rebounding to be really good again. I think in terms of concerns, I don't think there are too many because so many of these guys are back, and this is a proven team. We know it's deep. We know a lot of these guys have performed at a Big Ten level. I think to me, it's the shooting. Obviously, you hit on it with the free throws and the three-point shooting. I think the three-point shooting is really kind of the cap on this team, because the big question is going to be, can Rutgers elevate? They go 20-11 last year. They finished 28th on KenPom. Really nice, solid season. But the question is, can they elevate into the top group in the Big Ten? They had a good season, but they were three games out of the conference title. So that's a big jump, that last three game hunk there to get into the Big Ten title picture. And I think it's going to depend on the 3-point shooting. So can they find somebody who can elevate there? And moreover, I think they have a handful of guys that could get into that all Big Ten third team honorable mention group. But I'm curious to see if they can get somebody that can emerge into a second or maybe even a first team type of classification. Because I do think, if we're talking about the ceiling of that of this team, it's the 3-point shooting, and it's, I don't want to call it the lack of a star player, because I think they have a bunch of like semi quasi star players, but the lack of that true, alpha guy who will dominate the game. And I think they have a bunch of guys that are like tiptoeing close to that, but aren't quite there. So I'm curious to see on that front. But again, it's a proven roster. It's a proven team. They got a coach who knows how to coach these guys. So a lot more positives than negatives as far as Scarlet Knights are concerned. But so we talked about, you know, who's coming in, who's coming out, the team in general. As far as, you know, I just mentioned, I'm a little curious to see whether the team can get sort of a quote unquote star player. Do you have any predictions on as far as the team's best player? I know they had kind of a handful of guys that they carried the boat last year, but do you think there is an alpha on this team, or, and who, if there is, who do you think it is?
Yeah, I do. I think Ron Harper Jr. is really primed to take a big leap this season. You know, if you look at his efficiency numbers, he was, I think, in the top 15 in Big Ten play in seven different categories. But, you know, he did it kind of quietly. You know, he certainly disappeared at times. He was a bit inconsistent. But he also, I think, has the highest ceiling of anyone on the team. Obviously, Geo Baker, you know, is a bit more proven. The team relies on him a little bit more. But I think that it's really key to – I totally agree with your sentiment that they need that alpha to really step up. I think Geo, you know, can be in spurts, but I think that and he probably will have the ball in his hands at the end of the game. But as Pikel has said, and Baker has even said, you know, they would be thrilled if Harper ends up being kind of on the same par in terms of a closer. But I think in terms of overall, you know, Harper, I think, from three-point range, from shooting percentage, you know, his defense, actually Lindy's put him as preseason defensive player of the year in the league. He really doesn't get enough credit for his defense, but he took a major step forward last year defensively. He can guard multiple positions. I really think, you know, he's their best player. He has the best pro potential of anyone on the team. Obviously, his father had a lengthy career, and I think going from a sophomore to a junior, I think a lot of people within the program thought he was going to kind of make that leap last year. He sort of did. He made it all Big Ten. You know, he averaged, his numbers certainly went up, but I think this is the year where we're going to see him become a true star, and I think he does have that first-team All-Big Ten potential.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, going into last season, from my perspective, I really had my, you know, Geo Baker circled. I thought he was going to elevate into this high level player. And again, he was a good, consistent player for the Scarlet Knights last year, but very inconsistent. When he was on, I mean, he's almost unstoppable for segments. It's so many clutch shots during, you know, not only last season, but beyond that as well. It's just, he has those nights where, you know, I'm looking through his game log from last season, and, you know, 8 points against Penn State, no points against Maryland, 3 points against Michigan. Too many of those nights for a guy who wants to be a high level, you know, second team, first team, all Big Ten type of player. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get a little more consistent. I would expect his minutes would increase if he does that as well, because his minutes did regress a little bit last season for a variety of reasons. But Harper is definitely more consistent. I think that is definitely true. So I'm interested. They got a few guys who could break out, though, which I would think would have to excite Scarlet Knight fans. So that is good news. At this point, I would normally ask you to get into the schedule. Unfortunately, we still don't have a schedule. We have no idea how it's going to look. All we know is that November 25th is the purported start date for the season. Have you heard anything on the schedule, any predictions, anything like that at all?
Well, first off, if you don't mind, I just wanted to touch on Baker. You know, in his defense, he did come back from a broken thumb much earlier than he should have. And though I think it was about 7 or 8 game stretch when he returned, he was definitely not himself. He shot like 25%. I think he averaged like 6 or 7 points a game. And then once he got healthy, he really finished the season strong. He is without a doubt the heart and soul and leader of the team. Yeah. But I just think talent-wise and potential, Harper is that guy that could be the ultimately better player. But I think Baker, you know, you are right, though. He has struggled from the field throughout his career. But that last year was a little feast or famine, kind of right around that injury. In terms of schedule, you know, I think that it's been reported. I think Rutgers will play a few, probably, you know, 3 or 4 local low major teams. I think they're trying to schedule a 3-team, multi-team event at the RAC. And then, you know, obviously we're waiting for the ACC Big Ten Challenge opponent. So that would be a power five opponent. And then Rutgers Seton Hall, you know, they're trying to get it done. A big issue with this non-conference scheduling is that the conferences haven't decided yet. So Rutgers and Seton Hall are really trying to get a date together. I joked about it in an article last week. I don't care if it's Wednesday at noon. They have to play this year. It's just, I think, one of the most underrated rivalries in college basketball. But aside from that, you know, yeah, we don't know yet. You know, will there be 7 non-conference games? Will it be 5? But I think for Rutgers, it'll be the ACC Big Ten opponent, hopefully Seton Hall, and probably 3 or 4 local low to mid majors. And then other than that, with the Gavitt games most likely not happening, I think that's what you're looking at going into it. So it's going to be interesting, I think, for this team. You know, they typically kind of have a soft bridge leading up to Big Ten play. They're not really going to have that this year. So it's, they're obviously a mature team, an experienced team, but they're going to have to, you know, play well from the get-go, from the opening tip. So I think that'll be somewhat of a mental adjustment for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I should note with Baker, you know, I'm not trying not to be too critical. I'm just, you know, judging him on a tough curve here. So good player, very productive.
I got it.
but yeah, the schedule, it's going to be interesting to see. And as you noted, I mean, Rutgers might be at an advantage here, having so many guys back, guys who know how to play with one another, know their role on the team. That's one of the things I really like about Rutgers. And not to get too off track here, but you know, Illinois, who is loaded with talent coming into the season. I mean, 2 prime NBA prospects. They're adding another big-time recruit to their lineup. Really proven team as well. But Illinois feels like a team where you got a lot of mouths to feed. The guys, they all seem like really nice guys, you know, great players, all that kind of stuff. But they're the offensive-driven players where – they're going to need some possessions and you got to figure out who gets the ball when, all that type of stuff. Rutgers doesn't feel like that. Rutgers feels like they play really well as a team. They're going to be balanced. It's not going to be egos, stuff like that. So I think that would be really exciting in a season like this where, you know, the fact that they have played together is probably going to be a big advantage over, you know, some other team, you know, Maryland, Indiana, Michigan, teams that are going to have a lot of turnover this year. From Nebraska is another one, although I'm not sure the Huskers are going to be quite good enough to really challenge Rutgers. But, you know, there are teams in the league that have a lot of turnover. And this is a year where, hey, you probably would prefer to be in Rutgers' situation and have that those proven pieces. So it should be interesting to follow. Jumping back to the team here, we've talked about, you know, a lot of returners. I think most of these guys are going to be pretty clear here. Do you have a projection for the starting lineup at this time? And if so, who do you think starts for the Scarlet Knights?
Well, I think you definitely have Miles Johnson back at center. I think Ron Harper Jr. could start at the 3 or 4, but I think he'll probably start at the 4. Then obviously you have, you know, Gio really is the 1 or 2. And then I think either Montez Mathis, 3, probably will start. He started most of last year. It didn't necessarily play down, at the end, very end of games at times, but, very experienced guy, former 4-star recruit. I think he starts. And then probably Jacob Young, who was a transfer from Texas, who I really think is a key to them taking another step forward this season. I think if he can become the 3rd reliable scorer behind Harper and Baker, I think it really will add an element to this team. He, he's arguably Rutgers, the best penetrator they've had in the program for over a decade. And yes, I mean, even over Corey Sanders, he really gives them an element on the court that they've never had, at least in the Big Ten. Just his quickness, his ability to get to the rim. He was really rusty last year after sitting out a year. His efficiency numbers were terrible. The last third of the season, he really kind of got his feet under him. He cut down on the turnovers and he was very effective. If you look at their best games down the stretch, he had big games in all of them. So I think he's a real key this year. And I think their top guy coming off the bench is probably going to be Paul Mulcahy. The sophomore, he's a true point guard, but a 6'6". He could play multiple positions. He was really effective last year, splitting zones, getting around the free throw line, and his passing ability and unselfishness. He was just tremendous at finding teammates and getting them in good positions, good spots. I think he's going to take a step up this year as well. So I think Mulcahy and Young are two guys in the backcourt to watch for that will really make Rutgers a better team this year.
Interesting. And Mulcahy, that's an interesting one because I haven't heard much hype for him coming into this season. You think he's a guy a little under the radar nationally or across the Big Ten?
I think so. Locally, he's not. You know, he's a New Jersey kid. He was a borderline 3-4-star recruit. Chris Collins at Northwestern really went after him. He had national offers, and he committed to Rutgers really early in the process. It surprised a lot of people. And I really think, you know, he's the first true point guard that Pikel has landed. And I think his ceiling is really high for this program. I think the following year, you'll see him kind of take the mantle as that Geo Baker type leader his last 2 years. And I think, or three, knowing that this year doesn't count towards eligibility now, which is a whole other topic. But I think he is certainly a kid that needed to gain weight, needed to gain confidence. He needs to improve his outside shot. But just from a basketball IQ, ability to find teammates and put them in better position, and just offensively, he's a natural. I think he improved defensively down the stretch, and you're hearing really good things around the program with him this year, and I think he's physically matured, and I think he's got a really bright future.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, yeah, like I said, I haven't heard a ton of hype on him coming into this year, so I'm interested to see that. Yeah, as far as the starting lineup goes, I can't really disagree with much. I think you have 3-4 guys that are basically locks in the lineup. And really the only question is, you know, does a guy like Mulcahy or one of these depth guys just surprise and become so good that they push somebody out of the lineup? But the nice thing is, you know, Rutgers plays a pretty deep bench for the most part. They finished 55th in bench minutes last season, and under Pikel, they've always played a deep bench. So as far as rotation, guys are always going to be fresh. Foul trouble isn't going to be a huge concern because he got so many guys. And I really like the front court. I think the front court is going to be a strength. I talked about the rebounding earlier today, and I see no reason to think that is going to drop off this season. So I like the front court. And if that back court, you know, we talk about the shooting, and I hate to, you know, beat a dead horse here, but if some of those guys, you know, they have a lot of key players that finish in the 20th percentiles for 3-point shooting. And it's like, you know, if they can just elevate, you know, 5%, 10%, you know, 6%, something like that, Rutgers becomes such a dangerous team offensively and just across the board because of that defense. So it'll be interesting to watch. A lot of pieces. And the nice thing is, you know, the coaching staff's going to have a lot of options. So that's always a nice thing to get to. But with that, why don't we get to the part everybody loves the most, which are the season predictions. Again, we don't have a schedule, so it's a little tougher to get into that kind of stuff. But what are your overall projections for Rutgers this season? If there is a postseason, do you think Rutgers makes it? And any other thoughts you have on the Scarlet Knights?
Well, I think, you know, one challenge we haven't talked about, which I think is a fair concern per se, is the fact that, you know, they were so good at home last year at the rack, you know, 18-1, one of the best home court advantages in the country. So I do think it'll be interesting to see how they respond, you know, most likely without fans at the rack this year. But again, I think, and you touched on it some as well, which I completely agree with. I think this season, the conditions, the unique circumstances that we're dealing with, I think have really kind of, which is extremely rare and unheard of for Rutgers fans, but I think that the table has really turned in the right direction for Rutgers this season. This team specifically, the experience they have, they're a deep team, they're versatile. I do think they have a chip on their shoulder, and they're very experienced with each other. You know, they went to Spain last offseason, and that kind of bond really showed on the court last year. And I think just the circumstances of how last season ended, and then going into this year, I think luck could really turn their way, like you mentioned, with a lot of turnover in the Big Ten. I think they are going to be a top five team in the Big Ten. And I think that, yeah, they're a very dangerous team in the postseason. As you know, defensive teams can be in any game, especially in the postseason. And I think that they're certainly poised to be able to make a deep run into the NCAA tournament. I think they could surprise people. You know, what I don't like is that they're very trendy right now nationally. You know, you have John Rothstein's of the world, Andy Cass's, both putting them on as dark horses for the Final Four. Obviously, that would be beyond our wildest dreams for where this program has been, excluding 1976, before even I was born. But I think that, yeah, I think they have that kind of potential. You know, they could be a, I could see them being a 5-6 seed in the NCAA tournament that could make a deep run. So in conference play, you know, they have to be more consistent on the road. They have to maintain their edge at home. But I think, like we've discussed, you know, they're a versatile team and they have a lot of experience. So I really would be shocked if they took a step backwards. Obviously, they have to stay healthy, but I do think, you know, going 11-9 in conference play last year, I think it's very reasonable to think they could get up to that 13-14 game, you know, wins in conference play. Obviously, we don't know about non-conference, but, you know, I think they could be a top five Big Ten team and about a, you know, anywhere from a 4-6 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Wow. Yeah. Final Four. Whoa. Bold predictions. I'm not
predicting that. I'm just saying what's being said.
Fair enough. I'm pretty high on this Rutgers team, and I'll just say a couple things. You know, first off, I think the Big Ten for the middle and teams like this, it's going to be a lot easier this year. And I know the Big Ten's getting hyped from everybody across the board coming into the season. And I think to a certain degree, it deserves it, because I think there are 3-4 teams that could be in the top 10-12 this season for the Big Ten. So I think the top is going to be fantastic. However, I don't think the middle and the lower portion of the league is going to be as good as it was last year. I mean, you had like 12 teams that were all like top 40 last year. I do not think that will happen this season for the Big Ten. And that's important because teams like Rutgers, who are still going to be towards the top of the league, they're actually going to get some off nights that they didn't have last season, where they can rack up some wins without, going into a hostile environment against, you know, Wisconsin or something. So I do think to a certain extent, the record is going to be better, even though the team may not necessarily be substantially better, just because I think the Big Ten will be more manageable for teams that are in the top half of it. So I think Rutgers is going to be in great shape to make the tournament. I think, as you said, I think they're going to have a really nice seed. I think they're going to have a great resume at the end of the year because they're going to be able to compile a lot of wins in the Big Ten. I don't have them at the very top. I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten title. Anything's possible, particularly in a year like this where things are going to be really weird. I mean, no home court advantage I don't know what it's worth. I don't think anybody does. You know, we'll have to see how teams play, whether it really is any boost at all for the teams playing at home. So it's going to be a weird year, but as I sit here today, I think Rutgers is going to be towards the top of the conference. Would not be shocked if they got into the top four for the Big Ten tournament, maybe higher. I don't think they're going to win the title, but I think they could be in play for at least a month and a half of the season, which I think Rutgers fans would be thrilled about. As far as the postseason, unless the team drastically improves its three-point shooting, I don't think a Final Four is on the table, but Sweet 16, yeah, sure. I mean, they're going to have the seeding probably to do it. They're going to be a really tough team to play because of the defense. And we've seen some crazy things happen. I think the only thing that would concern me as far as predicting a Final Four, something like that, is just generally the teams that make it that far have sort of different gears they can switch to. You know, they can beat you with A, they can beat you with B. Rutgers has a very consistent style of play. It's been very successful, but, you know, they're not going to start unloading a barrage of threes one night. It's a very consistent approach. So that's my only hesitation as far as Final Four, but I think it's going to be a really good season. I think Rutgers will break that drought for the NCAA tournament, and fans overall will be happy. So should be exciting. Aaron, before I let you go, first, if you want to remind people where they can check out your stuff, and then if you have any final thoughts on Rutgers or the Big Ten, speak them now.
Well, thanks again for having me on and back this year. But yeah, onthebanks.com, you can find all your Rutgers coverage and, You know, we put it this way: we've covered Rutgers basketball like they were a good team for years, even when they weren't. So you'll get even more coverage now that they are good. I think you made a great point about the Big Ten. I think you're right. The bottom half of this conference, you know, it doesn't look as strong as they did last year. And I think, yeah, I just think that, you know, I hate to just kind of throw in good old luck there, but I think that the stage has kind of turned in the right direction for Rutgers, and I think they're poised to take advantage of it. But I think mentally, I think what I love about Coach Pikul is that, you know, he really understands what makes this team tick. This team is completely bought in, and I think that they're really just due to really make a big jump this year for all the conditions we discussed. And I think really the big picture, just as my close, is that I think Pikul is the real deal. I think that he's going to be at Rutgers for a very long time. His mentor was Jim Calhoun at UConn, who he played for on his first team, and also, you know, really learned from to be in regards to being a coach. I think Pikul is going to keep Rutgers, you know, as one of the better teams in the Big Ten for many years to come. And that will be a adjustment for Big Ten fans. But I think we're really on the cusp of that becoming a reality in the next couple of years here.
Absolutely. And we are going to have you back on to discuss the Steve Pikul coaching situation and all of that in the years going forward. But again, thank you for joining us. Everybody else, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Make sure to check out BT Powerhouse on Twitter, Facebook. We're counting down the top 25 players. There has been already one Rutgers player named on there. So encourage everyone to check that out. As always, my name is Thomas Bendit. You can follow me on Twitter at TBendit. Otherwise, thank you guys again. Everyone stay safe, mask up, and check us out next time.